Good morning, Dan. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving after the game?
Good. Good. You know, just laid low. How about you guys?
John, obviously, going to Columbus, had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. And I had some good food, watched the games from home.
Your alma mater had a pretty good weekend as well.
Well, listen, if you can't go to the next level with a bowl game, that's the way to end it. I mean, it's, at least we could beat LSU, so that's the way to end. So,
I was in the stands with my family, like I am every Thanksgiving, watching, cheering for you guys, and I had a great time. And yes, you guys lost the game, and I know that's the most important thing. But I really had the idea that for the first time in a long time at Thanksgiving, I was watching a real football team. And I'm not going to say you guys turned the corner and, you know, any of that stuff, but it's hard to quantify, but do you understand what I'm like talking about? I mean, you guys running all over the field, making tackles, making plays. It's like, it wasn't like a crappy product.
Sound like the Bad News Bears?
Yeah, exactly.
It stings to lose, but I was proud of our guys. I thought the coaches did a hell of a job with the game plan, and we knew what we had to do to give ourselves a chance to be in that and have a chance to win at the end. And you know, we did it hurts when you're that close at the end, but there was a number of things we had to do to get in that position where we had a chance to win at the end that we can't lose sight of. And kind of what I told the team and everything after the game, I really did feel like that's 4 weeks in a row that we have improved, even though it didn't lead to a win. And that's really what you're looking for, is constant improvement as the season goes.
When you go back and look at the game, obviously from the players, there's things that, whether it was a missed assignment, it was, you know, a pass dropped or a missed read by the quarterback, there's a lot of things that the players could improve upon. From a coach's perspective, and you go back and look at different scenarios, like a time management at the end of the first half, do you look at that and say, we should have taken it down to the 2-minute warning instead of running a play on first and goal at the two, and just go ahead and take more time off the clock so you don't allow Buffalo that time to go down and get a field goal?
Yeah, so here's what transpired with that, just so the thought was, they have plenty of time. We were all right. Let me answer the question first. Hindsight, when you go back and look at the way that whole thing played out in the sequence, had I known we'd have had that many plays above the 2-minute, like we thought we were going to score immediately. That was what the play design was, because the whole thought process was, let's score as fast as we can here above the 2-minute, because they had plenty of timeouts to do whatever they needed to do to go down if they were going to score. Mm-hmm. Buffalo did. They really had control of the game at that point. So to us, it was like, if we score now and we can get a stop, we'll get this ball back and we'll be able to add some more points to it. So it was really like we were trying to gain another possession offensively before halftime against that opponent. Well, that didn't work out because the fact Vaughn gets hurt and then we throw an incomplete and then we – And so, no, it didn't work out the way we wanted, but that was the philosophy behind it. Buffalo, they went all the way down. I mean, they didn't use their second timeout until we had the sack there, to end the half. So, yeah. Really, they just took their sweet time with it anyway. We should have done that, but I didn't have a crystal ball. But that was the philosophy, was let's see if we can score twice before halftime.
And what about at the end of the game? Everybody was focused on the third and one call. Was that just a poor execution of the play? Or because earlier in the season, you've had those same situations, and I think it was against Miami, it didn't work. You know, did you think of running the ball in that play?
Look, it crossed the mind. It crossed my mind that we run it. You know, you can always run it, get the first down, call timeout. But it was also, you throw it there. The play design is you get a shot to the end zone, but you also have a shallow cross. You got a mid cross that are running away from man coverage. and you catch one of those, you get the first down, and you probably are running right out of bounds, and you still have your timeouts, you know. So you have options is the point. And, you know, we went with Shark over there who ran a damn good route and was winning. We just didn't connect, you know. That's just part of the deal, you know. It's part of the game. He was going for the dagger there, and we would have, you know, been up by four after you kicked the extra point. And so, look, it didn't work out, and then now we got a decision to make. And at that moment, you know, we had connected on a lot of fourth downs. We had converted, but I felt like we did everything we could and scratched and clawed to get ourselves in that position, and it was time to take the three, because I did feel like we get them in the overtime. I felt like we could beat them.
Final question about strategy. It's not a criticism. It's just a question. You elected, and some coaches do, some coaches don't, when you have timeouts, to ice or not ice the kicker. What's your philosophy?
Yeah, I'm not into it, really. And if I was going to do it, I would just do it early. I wouldn't wait, you know. Mm-hmm. I would just go ahead and bang it. But I would rather them just line up and go. I'm not really a big, you know, let them think about it. I mean, I think you can go either way with it. If I had some history on a guy that I knew that, man, the more time he has to think about it, it affects him. It was something that happened when he was 17 years old in high school that is, you know, that has forever haunted him, then, yeah, I would probably use it. But other than that, I just assume, let's go.
Some of the positives. We talk about the younger players, and James Houston, sixth-round pick. You brought him up off the practice squad. I think he had five plays, two of them for sacks. I mean, and I know that he's back on the roster again. Is what in his development caused you to say, or was it just a roster spot that opened up, say, we want to give James Houston a look?
Well, I think it was a combination. First of all, I'd say this. James is somebody that's been on our radar for a while now. You know, honestly, we've been trying to get him up on game day for about 3 or 4 weeks now. And it was just about the time we get ready to do it, we get an injury somewhere else, and we can't use the practice squad spot to elevate because we need it for a receiver, or, you know, and then you're playing a team that does a ton of base, so you need more of a big end. And it was always one thing or another. Well, you know, with Charles being hurt, and we felt like we had a spot available, it was worth taking a shot, you know, because we do feel like he could deliver a little rush. Now, I wouldn't have known that he was going to go in there and have that production for five reps, but I do know this. He shows and pops. He's been popping in practice a lot. I mean, you know, when you watch it with your eyes, you're like, man, this kid's got something. And then, you know, Decker and Sewell and Brown and all the offensive linemen are like, man, when's this kid coming up? That kind of, you know, verifies the fact that what you're seeing is right. You know, he's causing some issues for your starters. So he's been on the radar. We were fortunate to get him up, and he was able to go in there and make some plays. So, yeah, he's up on the roster now, and now let's see if we can just let him continue to grow.
Dan Campbell joined us on the Stoney and Jansen program. Another young player. Now, he only had one catch, but it looked like he was blocking. James Mitchell, man, is he somebody who keeps getting better and better every week?
He does. Mitch is getting better. You know, Mitch is pretty smart. He's a smart, conscientious guy. He works hard. And his is just, you know, working through the kinks of being a rookie. You know, it's not easy. That job description, you got to run. You got to run block. You got to pass block. You got to be able to run routes. You got to catch. You got to, you know, there's a number of things you have to be able to do. And every week he's gotten just a little bit better. So he continues to grow. He got a few more reps last week, and I see him, you know, every week. I think he's going to get a little bit more. That's the way I see it as he keeps going. But he's doing a pretty good job.
With such a young roster and the fact that we just watched the last regular season game of the college football season, yet you guys still have a month and a half, six more games to go, how do you keep those guys healthy, tuned in, and understanding that this is a long season? How do you get them adjusted to the length of an NFL season?
Yeah, that's You know that one well, John. That's for those guys that are rookies, that's a hard one. And add another game to that now. It used to be 16, right. Not 17, right. Just in a regular season. But here we are. We got six left before the playoffs. And for those guys, their season is normally over. I think you just, there again, you got to keep educating them on what this is about, what's coming. You have to talk to them about their bodies, taking care of their bodies. They got to hydrate. They got to recover. They got to treat. They have to do, they got to get their sleep, the rest, or you got to continue to train properly. I think that just the nature of the way things are now, I think we have to be smart with the way we practice too. You know, we're getting into the back end and, I do see us using pads, but I mean, we only get about two or three of them left for the rest of the season, you know, two or three of those days. And so I think that, and then you start to taper back a little bit as the season gets to the back end. You start tapering off to where you're maybe not in the building as long, but you're still getting your work done. So there's just a few things we can do, and those guys just got to do it.
Sunday, it's Jacksonville. I watched a little bit of them on Sunday. Kind of like yourselves, young team. Trevor Lawrence is starting to play a lot better right now. He's got Doug Peterson as obviously his head coach, who's done some good things with quarterbacks. What kind of challenges do they give you guys?
Yeah, well, I think you just said it. They have a pretty good mix of young players that they've drafted there. They've got some players that they've acquired through free agency over the last 2 years that are pretty good. You know, they're pretty good players in this league. So they've got plenty of talent over there. They're playing real good football. This quarterback's playing over the last 3 or 4 weeks is playing pretty good. You know, he's you can tell he's getting better. He's getting a lot more comfortable. I think a lot of it is for us, we need to come in with a ton of energy and be ready to surpass what these guys bring in that department. And we have to get takeaways. We're going to have to, you know, look, they just played their best game of the season. Overall, offense, defense, special teams. That was a hell of a win for them. That was a big one. So I think they're peaking right now. I think they're playing the best they've played all year. So this will be a big challenge for us.
How important are these final 6 weeks? They're games where you look at the opponent and say, yes, you could see the Lions going 6-0. You could see a number of different scenarios. But as you look at, in your time here, changing the culture, and we heard, you know, Taylor Decker after, you know, Thursday's game talk about, you know, the SOL moments or this is not the same old Lions. How important are these last 6 games to reset that standard and continue to develop your culture?
Well, it's like I told them. To me, the most important game is what's coming up. You know, and I don't think you can even talk about these last 6. You have to talk about Jacksonville. Everything that we're about, everything that we talk about wanting to be, where we want to go from here, the improvement, we have to put it, all our eggs have to go into this basket. Everything we have has to go into beating this team that's coming in on Sunday, which is the Jaguars. So that's all that matters. And the only way to start something is, you know, something good is to take care of the one that's right in front of you, and that's these guys coming in. So that's all our focus right now.
Dan, thanks a lot as always. Good luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Dan Campbell, head coach of your Detroit Lions. Stoney Jansen, 97.1 The Ticket.